Hello and welcome to the IDK My BFF Jill podcast. I'm your host Jill, and I don't know jack, but not for real. I'm here to learn more about life by being curious about others and being vulnerable about myself. I'm talking to people from all walks of my life because despite the world being big, we all know it's also very small, and you never know when that gem will be dropped that will allow you to grow. So let's go. Hi everyone, welcome back to the IDK My BFF Jill podcast. I'm your host Jillian, whose goal is to stay curious and talk about change and growth. Today I am so excited to welcome Jimmy DeFalco to the podcast. Jimmy, hi, thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So excited to talk to you. Jimmy, you can find on Instagram as The Awakened Father. He has over 16,000 followers, and he grew up in a quote-unquote Wolf of Wall Street type of environment. His journey led him down a path of drug addiction and rehab and relapse, but after he took ownership of his fate, he was able to change his life and become a father coach, as he calls it, and a motivational speaker. So Jimmy, thank you so much for being here. Was there anything that I was missing that you would like to add to your little introduction?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Thank you.
Perfect. So tell me a little bit about your business, which you told me just recently launched. How did your coaching business come about? And like, who do you aim to serve and why?
Yeah, so I started The Awakened Father literally just like 5 or 6 weeks ago, but we've already been off to a phenomenal start. I'm working with a handful of clients, and it feels really good just to have such an impact in their lives and to see an impact in their children's lives as well. Them wanting to get active, work out with them, journal, meditate, do the things that, you know, I have my students do. So it's really cool. So what I've just seen over the last 5 years or so is that a lot of men are struggling. Right? They're struggling with their fitness. They're struggling mentally. You know, they're struggling emotionally, and they really don't have any place to go to, right? To not only share their feelings, but also be held accountable and for someone to call them out on their bullshit, right? So that's kind of where I came up with The Awakened Father, not only to make men like stronger, better, held accountable and responsible, so they can be their best self. Because if fathers aren't their best selves, right, if they're lacking in any area, they can't raise the best version of their children, right? So everyone says they'll do anything for their kids, but like, will you change for them, right? So that's why I created The Awakened Father, to help people become the best version of themselves, but also have like a safe space, right? For men, because, you know, we unalive ourselves more than, you know, any other demographic. So it's, I think, important to be able to have that safe space where they can, you know, express themselves openly.
I love that you have such a specific and dedicated niche. You're talking to fathers who want to grow and change and improve, and you have a program for them. What does that program look like with you?
Yeah, so a bunch of different facets, right? First thing for me, right, what changed my life was fitness. So like 6 years ago, when I was coming off of Oxy, Xanax, alcohol, you know, the first thing that got me on the right path was the gym. So that's the first and foremost thing, is I get them active and I dial in their nutrition, right? I give them a very detailed workout plan based on where they're at, what their goals are, right? It's all customized. And I also dial in their nutrition as well. Not only like their macronutrients, protein, carbs, fats, but also their micronutrients with supplementation as well. And then once we are kind of on the right path, getting ourselves feeling a little bit better, I really focus on helping dads, because so many dads these days, like I said, they're struggling financially, struggling with their relationships. And a lot of men are operating in a sympathetic state in their nervous system. So a nervous system has two main states in which we operate, right? Sympathetic, fight or flight, parasympathetic, rest and relaxation. So the first couple of weeks, I really focus on just grounding them, right? Allowing them to spend more of their day, right? 80, 90% in that parasympathetic rest and relaxation state. So we can address the real underlying subconscious belief systems that are holding them back and allowing them not to reach their full potential. Right. So we all have experiences that we have, and we can't change our experiences. Right. But we can change the meaning that we give to those experiences, right? So I help men, but you can't access those experiences and those beliefs if you're in a sympathetic state,
yeah,
right? So you have to be calm, rest, relaxed. And so I help them get in that parasympathetic state so they can access their past experiences, the disempowering meaning that they gave them that's holding them back. Mm-hmm. And I help them really reframe those experiences into empowering ones. So, because everything we do is driven by our subconscious mind. 90 to 95% of everything we do is driven by our subconscious mind. So you can consciously want to change all you want, yep, but until you address those subconscious belief systems, it doesn't matter because you're just going to revert back to your old self.
Right.
So that's kind of a long answer, but
No. So I love that you start specifically first with physical, because I think, you know, when it comes to change, a lot of the times it's easier to change the physical and the tangible first, right? Than the stuff on the inside, the experiences, because that requires so much more reflection. But like you said, you need to be in a rested state to be able to,
yep,
necessarily meditate, but again, to reflect on those intangible aspects of life that are really going to be the things that affect lasting change, right?
Like, exactly.
So that makes so much sense that you start with physical, fitness first before you delve into the deeper stuff. Where did your fitness like knowledge come from? Like, you know, again, the point of this podcast is for me to be curious. I have no idea about macros. I have no idea about any of that stuff.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. Definitely. So just like self-education, right? And what you said, right? It's easier to change the physical than the mental or emotional. It's, yeah, exactly what I tell my clients and I preach all the time, because we have these limiting beliefs, but once we can smash through some of the like physical ones, mm-hmm, like it gives you permission almost, mm-hmm, to attack those other limiting beliefs. Yeah. Right. I just wanted to follow up on that, but I just self-education pretty much. I've worked with mentors. I've spent probably over 30,000 over the last couple of years in mentors in fitness, mindset, business, spirituality. Right. So I've invested in myself and obviously done a lot of research on my own and just found out what works and what doesn't, basically through trial and error a lot of it as, yeah, well.
That's called living. That's called entrepreneurship. Yep. So I resonate with all of that. You really do have to invest in yourself, and fathers working with you is an investment in themselves, right? And their individual journey as well as their journey as fathers. So yeah, after you work on the physical and kind of get them into feeling good about themselves, then they can start to do the deeper work. Did you go to therapy, and do you use that as a framework for the next phase of your work with them? What does that next phase look like after you've done the physical part?
Yeah, I've actually done therapy and I have a therapist now, but honestly, most of my work personally has been from like on myself, like just like the daily consistent things. A therapist is good just to maybe just to get things off your chest, I feel, right? And to not have them in there. But really this guy, Jeremy Griffin, official J Griff is his IG tag. He provided me the tools that where I could really start to reframe some of my self-limiting belief systems. Cause I was raised by a father who raised me with a lot of ideals that were not serving me any longer. Basically drugs, partying, fighting. That was like what a man was.
Right.
So I had to do a lot of work reframing. Jeremy helped me a lot with that. And a lot of what I've learned through my mentors, I, you know, just pass along to my students.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And then what does the time frame look like for a program with you?
Yeah. So I have different levels, right? 3, 6, and 12 months, depending on where they're at, like what they're looking for, the level of help they want. Do they want a group setting? They want one-on-one, a little bit of both. So I have different options that can kind of meet their needs based on where they're at and like what their real specific goals are.
That's amazing. I appreciate the difference in length of program, because not everyone can committit to a whole year, or committing to a whole year can be scary for some people. So maybe 3 months or 6 months is, you know, just to get started. I think that's where I'm passionate about, just getting started about with something to change. So that's great. Speaking of your father, who is an entrepreneur, who has a business such as yours or mine, where we're focused on like helping other people, that usually stems from a life experience. right? So yeah. For me, in my organizing business, I grew up with a mother who would throw things out without asking, and you would come home from school and be like, where's my blue teddy bear? And she's like, oh, I sent it to your cousins in the Philippines. And like, that was my trauma in a way, right? And I turned it into a business focused on professional organizing, helping people know where their things are, create a system. And I feel like that was the outcome, or the way that I unlearned that trauma, right, from my mom. Tell me a little bit about your childhood and what led to, you know, you having this coaching business now that's focused on fitness and fatherhood.
Yeah, great question. So as you kind of said earlier, I was raised in like a Wolf of Wall Street type of environment. So my father made like seven figures plus a year, but he was like constantly partying with drugs, alcohol, women on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of it in front of me. He even included me. So like at 13 years old, we're in New York City watching the World Series. The Yankees lost. I'm all upset. And so instead of like buying me ice cream or something like that, he gets me drunk and buys me an escort.
Wow.
At 13 years old.
That's wild.
And so at the time I thought it was like super cool. My dad's the coolest, right? But little did I know, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, like how much that really hindered my ability, not only to deal with like when you're upset, like mm-hmm. when you're upset, like that's what you go do. But also like how to treat women as well. Right. So I continue kind of living that lifestyle throughout my teenage years, right? And I got into partying. We had a 60-foot yacht, a limo with a driver. So like anytime I would just call him up, be like, Wally, we're going out tonight. Me and all my boys would stock the limo up, go out and party. And so when I graduated, I went to Florida State University. When I graduated in 2008, I thought I was going to eventually take over my father's business, make more money, party harder than he ever did. But that's when everything crashed. Back in 2008. Yep. And unfortunately, you know, the automotive industry got hit the most when my dad was in automotive advertising. We lost everything in the matter of months. Went from, like I said, you know, limos, yachts to barely being able to pay our rent on like our tiny apartment. Mm-hmm. And it was a real struggle. And my father actually turned to me because he had so much bad debt associated with his name, with the IRS and everything. He's like, we have to open up a business in your name. So I'm like, okay, anything to help the family, Dad. As a 21-year-old kid fresh out of college. Now, about a year and a half in, I get a letter from the IRS saying I owe 40 grand in payroll taxes because he wasn't paying the payroll taxes. You know, I was a 21-year-old kid. I was just operating sales. I was letting him run the business side of things. I trusted him. Right. So I shut the business down quickly. Long story short, this forced me and my dad to get in like a physical altercation. We physically fought, and I didn't talk to him for about 5 or 6 years after that. And that led me after that, that really led me down the path of getting into like hard drugs. For a while, I was like always like drinking and coke, you know, and I could do that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then function throughout the week. But once I got into like the pain pills, the Oxycontin, the Xanax, those things grabbed such a strong hold of me. My whole entire life fell apart. Now, once I finally, I lived that life for a long time, almost a decade. Once I finally turned my life around, right, I was about a year in, posting a lot on Instagram and stuff. And people just started reaching out like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, how'd you turn your life around? Like, what's going on? And I was like, shit, I don't know. I don't know what I did. And so that got me intrigued into reverse engineering what I had done, right? Learning about the subconscious mind, you know, how beliefs were formed as kids, like different brainwave states and how to influence the subconscious mind. So I literally just like reverse engineered and started educating myself alone and with mentors on how I did what I did. And subsequently, everything that I learned, I was doing just almost naturally, kind of like bootstrapping it together. But as you know, that first year or two, I had no idea. Yeah. I was just putting one step in front of the other. And then, you know, that kind of led me to where we're at today.
Wow. Thank you for your vulnerability and sharing that story. It's not easy to, I'm sure it took a lot of hard work to get to a place where you could openly talk about all of these things, especially when other, you know, when your relationship with your father is involved. It's pretty crazy to think about how, you know, hindsight's 2020, right? And with the thanks of other therapists and coaches and resources, you're able to look back. I'm really impressed by the fact that you took ownership of your situation and you said, I want to reverse engineer this. I love that idea. It seems like you're really like logical, systematic guy who's really into the mind, and you obviously read your books and did your research in order to do that. Were other people in your family supportive of this reformation journey? Did they contribute to it?
Yeah, for sure. Like my mom, my brothers and sisters, all of them like very supportive throughout this. My brother as well. So my brother was actually, I have two brothers and two sisters. I'm the oldest of five. Oh. And my brother, he passed away from an overdose 3 years ago. I actually found him myself, like on his bedroom floor. It was pretty fucked up. But you know, he struggled with drugs a long time before I did, and he was in and out of prison for like, he did 3 years and then like another 2.5. But he finally turned his life around. He was finally doing well, literally like 3 years clean and sober, waking up at 4 a.m. every day, going to the gym. He was like bigger and more in shape than me. And at that time, he was making more money than me. He started his own tree climbing business, and COVID happened. And he lost church. He lost his AA meetings. And, you know, a couple months in, he, you know, fell back off, and that's kind of what led him. But yeah, my family's been super supportive throughout this whole transformation.
I'm so sorry to hear about your brother, and I'm sure that that experience is something that you deal with every day and is not easy. So thank you for, again, your vulnerability and sharing with that part of family. Of course, you are. When did you become a father along this journey?
Yeah, so my son's 9, so I became a father in 2014.
Okay, and where were you in your journey at that time when he was born?
Bad. Yeah. I was bad. Yeah, in the first couple years of his life, I was in a bad position. Mm-hmm. So actually at the time when he was born, I was still living downtown, partying a lot. And I actually just moved out of downtown. We got a house with a girl that I got pregnant with. I'm no longer with her. I'm with my beautiful fiance now.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And for the first like 2 years of his life, I was heavy into drugs still. And then when I found out my second son was being born, Angelo, I was literally in the middle of like a week long bender.
Oh my gosh.
With my dad of all places. At this time I had my car repoed. I was about to be kicked out of my house. I was already evicted from one house. I had no job. I just got fired for going in under the influence. And I thought my life was over. I couldn't care for myself, couldn't care for the ones that I had. How was I supposed to care for two? I looked at where I was at and the mountain I had to climb. I was like,
no,
it's impossible. I can't do it, right? No way. So I actually attempted to, you know, take my life. I was slitting my wrist. I told my friends that's what I was doing. And the reason I did that is because once I found that out, like for so long, I blamed everything on my father, the economy, on God, right? And it was almost like in an instant, I realized it was all my fucking fault, all of it, right? And I was, that hurt so bad. I couldn't deal with it, right? But that's the moment that eventually saved my life. That pain creates change,
right?
So after my friends called the cops, they had me Baker acted. I went to like a mental health facility for like 72 or 96 hours. And I had like a dream or a spiritual experience when I was in there that my kids were going to turn out exactly like me.
Mm-mm.
Right. And I didn't care what happened to me at that point, but like that scared me enough to never use like hard drugs again after I got out of there.
Wow.
So, and that whole, so back to the subconscious mind, right. I always viewed drugs as good, as an escape, as like happiness, but that the realization that it was all my fault reassociated the drugs subconsciously to me to all of that pain and turmoil I was experiencing. So although, yes, it was still hard to like get clean.
Yeah.
I would say that was like 80% of it. Just like that subconscious reassociation
right.
of the drugs.
Yeah.
That like I didn't want to do them anymore because I associated them with heartache, pain, adversity, rather than like happiness and escape.
It's so interesting. You're sharing this with me, and I was listening to another Mel Robbins podcast. There was one last week or a couple weeks ago about she was exploring the idea of sobriety, and she was talking to a woman who was kind of like a sobriety coach. And she, you know, ultimately what they came to in the episode was like, it's not about the drink, right? For most, it's about what the drink represents or what you're trying to hide from or what that is a barrier for. So as you just said, for you, it was a barrier for pain and covering all that stuff up. For Mel, she said, she took it back to a very specific moment when she was also 13. Crazy, right? When we turn 13, that teen thing just like takes us to another place. But she said when she was 13, she was a freshman in high school. She had an older boyfriend who was a senior. He took her to a party, and she was nervous because she was the youngest person at the party. And then another girl at the party handed her the red Solo cup with a Jack and Coke. And that red Solo cup meant acceptance, meant I don't have to be scared, meant I'm part of the group. Yeah. And so the drink, she was like, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink all day, every day, but like, I need the drink and I want the drink. And come to find out the drink represented a hug of acceptance.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just connected. It's all your story, just reiterating that story from me, as far as like the subconscious mind goes. And so, sorry, my brain is just like, I process things like while, you know, in real time. So I'm like absorbing your story and relating it to others, because I think that's the whole point, right? Sharing our stories only reiterates and kind of like seals in the fact that you're not alone and that there are so many people who have similar experiences. And speaking of experience, like you said, when you realize it was my fault, we can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond. And of course, how we respond changes with time and knowledge and experience. So when you took the time to learn more and to invest in yourself in various ways, you were able to really take ownership of your past in order to change your future, right? Is basically
100%.
How that went down. What do your sons, the oldest one is 9 now, what do your sons remember from that time, if anything, when you were kind of really at your lowest?
By the time Angela was born, I was like, you know, 7 months into my journey.
Mm-hmm.
So thankfully he has nothing to remember. Anthony, I don't know. He was like 2 years old when I turned things around, maybe like 20 months. Right. So I'm hoping he doesn't remember anything, but I'm not quite sure. I've never really asked him that. Yeah. They know, like, they don't know my story yet. And one day I'll tell them, you know, but they just know like dad used to be a different person. Dad used to make a lot of bad decisions. Dad used to, you know, just not be the same person I am today.
Yeah.
So they know like somewhat, but they don't know like the specifics. But with all the content that's out there with me now and the older they're getting, I'm going to, because all you have to do is Google my name and like that's what you find. Yeah, exactly. So like my TEDx talk, all of those things are just like right there. So I have to have that conversation with them eventually, but when they're a little bit older.
Yeah, for sure. I think about how we often forget that our parents are their own humans and their own people, and that they were they were people before they had us. I think I really admire and honor your openness, because I don't know much about my parents before they had me, and they're not, you know, especially immigrant parents too, they're not into talking about, you know, anything vulnerable. So the thought of having to have a really vulnerable conversation with your sons one day, for me would be scary, but there's so much, you've done so much work on the opposite side of things that it's just a part of your story. And it will show them a wonderful example of how you can change and how you can grow. You said that in your coaching program with fathers, you mentioned briefly about like journaling with their sons or with their children or something like that. Can you tell me a little bit more about your experience with that, I guess, and how that came about?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm just very into like shadow work. Have you ever heard of like shadow work or like inner child work? So just I've developed a lot of different like journaling prompts based off of what has helped me to help my students. And so like I was on a coaching call last night and he was like, yeah, I walked into my son's room and he was just like journaling because he sees me doing it like every morning. Yeah. Right. So but I developed this really cool like core values worksheet where there's like 15 questions and really walks fathers through what their core values are and what core values they're expressing through their actions and if they're in alignment or not. Yeah. And if they're not in alignment, right, how to kind of change that. So once, you know, the fathers become aware of where they're at and they can start changing the actions they're taking on a daily basis to align more with those core belief systems they want to instill in their children. I also have like a little game where they take like a piece of cardboard, right? They have all these different, maybe let's say like note cards with all these different belief systems, like I'm brave, I'm scared, I can do anything, I always make mistakes, a bunch of positive and negative belief systems. And we have the kids just like take which beliefs they have and like put them, like align them like under their name. And we really help them. So it helps to like guide children more than tell them what to do. Not like, hey, you don't talk to mom like that. That's not right. Hey, Anthony, one of your core values is being respectful, right? Yeah. Is how you just spoke being very respectful to your mother? No, that doesn't make them feel good, right? So I'm like, okay, so how should you talk to your mother if you want to be more respectful, right? And you guide them down that path rather than like telling them what to do. And in my experience, kids respond a lot better to that.
I think our parents' generation was very much a talking at us or to us, right? Like you just said, you do this, don't do that. And it wasn't talking with us, as you're now explaining, right? Like this is why you did that, but and posing the question, right, is part of your job. I mean, I'm not a parent, but like part of the job as a parent, you have, they are their own beings that they have to learn and experience life themselves, and you're there to guide them. And one of the ways to guide them is to pose questions. Like, does that align with your value of respect? So that is amazing. I have some notes here and I'm curious if they kind of like basically thinking about core values. I think that something with you is like accountability and also action. And also visualization. I have one of these quotes here where you said, envision your dream life, create feelings of success and joy on your own. You can then manifest your dream life as you act in response to those feelings. And I feel like that game that you kind of just described is also a visualization exercise of manifestation. So would you consider those to be your core values, or if not, what are they?
Yeah, definitely some of them, right? I would say accountability, responsibility, right? Being loving and caring and empathetic towards others. I am very, like, I think like alpha type of personality. I can be loud, aggressive, like in your face, but I feel like it's also okay to be both, right? To also have some of that, maybe a little bit of feminine energy as well. Be more empathetic, caring, and open. You don't have to be like stuck in this box, right? So, and then just authenticity as well is a huge one for me, because I feel like there are just a lot of fake people out there just doing things for views, clicks, whatever. And I found that if I always like put so much thought into a post or to something like that, like it never really works out. But if I'm just like, yo, this is what happened to me today, like boom. And then like people resonate with that. So like authenticity for sure.
Got you. I love, so accountability, authenticity, action. You got all these A's, Anthony. Right?
And Angelo is my other kid. Yeah. So,
okay. A team all around in kids' names, in life values. Yeah. I love a good trend like that. I had a question in my head and I totally just lost it because I was like, oh, I love an alliteration and all the letters that match. So everyone in my family starts with the letter J. It is a tradition that my grandma started. But you mentioned that you're the oldest child, and this is kind of a veer off of our scheduled path, but like, I'm also the oldest as well. Do you feel like you fit into that stereotypical leader, oldest child, like psychological, you know, profile of the oldest kid? And how do you think it helps you and how do you think it hurts you?
Yeah. So I think at like, obviously I didn't used to be, right?
Right.
I think especially with my younger brother, especially in the first, let's say 2 or 3 years of my journey, mm-hmm. he maybe didn't like look at me the same or believe me that I was like actually changed, mm-hmm. right? Because I did some fucked up things. I stole from like my family members and yeah. did a lot of like, bad things. So I definitely wasn't, but I feel like in the last like couple of years, it's been like 6 years into my transformation journey now, I am that, right? Like I'm mentoring him in sales. And I had a post the other day where we were at the beach in the Outer Banks. And me and him just had like a really good photo, like a candid photo. And we just looked at each other. I'm like, fuck, bro, I miss him. Just like talking about my brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I'm pretty good at letting it out every now and then. Like, I'll be fine for months. And then just like one day I'll see something or I'll have a thought and just like, I'll fucking lose it.
Yeah.
Even talking about it right now, I'm getting kind of close. But I don't think Nick does, right? He keeps a lot of shit bottled in.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just really let it out. And so it was cool just to be here for him, like in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to be like literal shoulder to cry on. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's something that my sisters do not, that's one thing they always complained about with me is that I was never emotionally supportive of, and I'm still not. It's something that I struggle with. I just, you know, find it hard to provide that shoulder. I think for me as the oldest child, there's a talk about shadow work. My inner child is resentful in very, very many ways, right? Of, you know, things getting handed to the younger siblings when they weren't handed to me, right? Because again, not my younger siblings' fault, right? My parents were in a different situation economically, all that kind of stuff by the time they had the other kid. But for me as the oldest child, there's a lot of resentment. That's the fight that I'm fighting in my shadow work. You mentioned briefly that you stole from family and you've done a lot of fucked up things. I'm curious as to what a forgiveness journey looks like. Like, did you go around? So I'm very literal. Like, I had a friend who broke up with me and out of nowhere, like a girlfriend, right? And I was just like, whoa, why are we fighting? Why are we defriended? And it got me like, okay, are there other friends who don't like me? And like, do we need to have a conversation? So I literally made a list and I had one-on-one conversations with each of those people to check in with my closest 20 friends. And I was like, do we need to have a conversation? Like, is there something you need to tell me? So I was imagining, you know, when you've done so many fucked up things, as you said, like, did you make a list of like, these are the people I need to apologize to? Like, what does that forgiveness journey look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, so I never really like made a list. I'm not as organized as you, right?
I'm not organized or messed up, you know,
yeah, I never really like made a list, right? But I definitely like went around and like made my rounds throughout. And I think like the greatest, I guess, way to get forgiveness is to change, right? You really show them. But yeah, I have had conversations with like each and every one of my friends, family members. I alienated a lot of people for a long time, and it took some people a long time to come back around, and some people never came back around, right? And that's okay, that's cool, you know. It's part of my path and my journey. But yeah, I think the best way to show someone that you're sorry is to change and never do it again.
Right. Actions speak louder than words, huh? As they say.
Exactly. Yep.
How did you deal with maybe if you lost some people, like friends in the process, like you apologized, they didn't want to come back around, they decided they don't want to be friends with you anymore. Did you go through any kind of like grieving process for friendships or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, like I understood mm-hmm. like why, you know, they didn't want a relationship with me anymore, but like, it still hurt, right? Mm-hmm. And especially I don't think I was even close to as self-aware
and
in touch with myself as I am now. Right. So yeah, it did hurt a lot, but I did understand at the same time that they had to do what was best for them and like their family and their own well-being.
Yeah.
'Cause I'd be like calling friends up at like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, like through some bullshit. lie. Like, I need $40 for this. Like, you know, and just, yeah, it was bad.
Gotcha. I was thinking, I just got a vision of, the way that my weird borderline crazy brain works when I make lists of, you know, people to have conversation with is that I see things. So I just had a vision of like you with your sons and I guess you doing an exercise with them over forgiveness. So I don't know where that is going, but that's just popped into my head. I'm just throwing that out there because I think, I don't know, I guess forgiveness is another topic. What would be the value associated with forgiveness? Like, I don't know, but I think it's something. Empathy. There you go. See, this is why I didn't know that word, because I will tell you that that is something that I struggle with very much so. I don't have a natural sense of empathy. It's not that I don't care, but I also don't care. And it just doesn't, I know that there are people out there who really feel other people's emotions, like physically feel what other people are feeling. And that is just not me. Mm-hmm. It goes over my head. And unless you tell me, or unless you're obviously having a crying down episode, I don't know what's going on. You got to tell me straight up. Like I'm struggling and I need you to be empathetic right now. And I'll be like, okay, you know, change mode. Yeah. But that's something that I just struggle with. So I guess I really admire, again, your understanding and openness to, I guess, exploring, as you kind of said earlier, very quickly, like the feminine side of things. I think it's yin and yang, right? Like yang is heat, yang is masculine energy, yang is forward movement, yang is black. Yin is water, it's the moon, it's nature, it's empathy, it's spirituality. And it's about a balance of those two things. How do you feel like, what are the some conscious efforts that you make on a daily basis to kind of balance your yin and yang?
Ooh, that's a great question, Julian. So I would say it's just like slowing down and being aware of what I'm doing, because life is busy, right? I coach both my son's baseball teams. I run my business. I have other projects that I'm working on, right? Life is busy. It's hectic. So if I don't slow down, right, and take time to myself in the morning to meditate, journal, really ground myself and prime myself for the day, I can let more of that like masculine energy take over and snap at my kids and yell at them, lose my shit because someone cuts me off, right? And then just, it's a trickle effect from there. And actually, before this call, actually, I just got off a call and I was just like in a bad mood and I was like screaming, yelling. And I was just like, wait, fucking this energy, what I'm doing right now is not beneficial.
No.
Right. I didn't like what happened, but like, I'm a true believer in how you carry yourself and the energy that you're emitting is it brings to what you attract. Right. Mm-hmm. So like when I'm on point with my morning routine, connected with myself, when I'm meditating, well, it just seems like just things flow to me and I don't even have to try. But when I'm disconnected, when I don't meditate, when I don't get in touch with myself, I try harder and it's all a struggle and I can't do it. So I'm a huge believer in you really have to align yourself and vibrate at a high level to attract what you want. And you have to work, obviously, you have to take action, but you won't have to work as hard. You'll get the same or better results if you can just learn to align yourself with what you want.
It's so true. Also, I just realized, again, because I'm visual, you're wearing black and I'm wearing white to add to add to my yin and yang analogy. Tell me a little bit more about like your day routine. This is the kind of thing I'm curious about because again, I'm focused on organization and plans. So what's your day look like? Are you one of those people that wakes up at 4 a.m. and like meditates first? Like what does-
Yeah, so I wake up at like 5. Yeah. Okay. 5 a.m. And the first thing I do first and foremost is always I drink I fill this thing up, right? Yeah. First thing when I wake up. Put some salt, pink Himalayan lemon in there, chug that. And then I go straight for my coffee. My coffee's already pre-made.
What does the pink Himalayan salt do?
So water doesn't actually hydrate us alone, right? It's the minerals, it's the potassium, it's the sodium that actually hydrates us. So if you just drink water, but you don't have any minerals like potassium, sodium, et cetera, your body can actually turn that water into what it needs to hydrate your body. So you'll literally just like, pee it out. So they lied to us as kids, like, oh, sodium makes you thirsty. It didn't know it actually hydrates you, right? As long as you have like a high quality sodium, right? So yeah.
You just blew my mind because I have been trying, me too. Like this is 32 ounces. I'm trying my best to drink water, but I was drinking like those Hydralyte kind of, I don't know how you call them, those additives, right? Like that you mix in the water. And I'm not going to drink the ones that I had anymore because I realized that it would had so like hella fucking added sugar. And I was So the sodium part, I kind of started to understand when I started drinking that stuff. But then when I finally looked at the label and I saw it was like 20% of your daily value of like whatever from the added sugar, I was like, okay, I'm not buying this ever again. So you're telling me I could just do pink Himalayan salt in the water and lemon and still get like the same effects of what those hydration sticks are supposed to do.
Yeah, definitely. So get this thing called no salt, right? Uh-huh. It's called no salt, which is basically just like potassium, right? So I put that and some pink Himalayan salt with a squirt of lemon in there. And I just literally just room temperature water and just like fill it up to here and just chug it first thing in the morning to rehydrate myself, right? Because I went, 6 to 8 hours without anything.
Right.
Then I'm really not supposed to have coffee for like 90 minutes or whatever, but I never crash throughout the day. I always have like a high level of energy. I used to drink energy drinks all the time, but I haven't in years. So I have my coffee and then I like sit in my chair and I do some EFT tapping. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So it's called emotional freedom techniques. So basically, as we were talking about earlier, your subconscious mind remembers everything, right? Mm-hmm. It literally stuff you don't remember from when you're 2 or 3 years old, your subconscious mind remembers and forms belief systems from that trauma or experiences you've had. Well, your body actually holds on to trauma as well.
Yeah.
Okay. It gets caught up and we get blockages. We're energetic beings. We literally have electricity running through our bodies, right? So there's different points like here, here, here on our bodies that we can tap and release that pent up energy, right? And so I like tap right here and just whatever I'm struggling with, like for the day, like one of the ones, so like about a year or 18 months ago. So even after I turned my life around, I was still struggling financially. Like I wasn't not being able to put food on it, but I was just not able to get ahead, right? Yep. I was just struggling a bit. My friends seemed to be doing way better than I was. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong, right? And then I came to realize through that deep inner child work that my dad had so much money and lost it all. Mm-hmm. I was subconsciously scared of making a lot of money to in turn lose it and then go through that pain that I went through at 20, 21 years old. Ooh. So I was like, oh shit, you know? I was like, that's why I'm struggling. So I finally worked on addressing that self-limiting belief through journaling prompts, meditations, and EFT tapping. Okay. So every morning, just for like 2 or 3 minutes, while I have Theta Brainwaves on, I say, I love myself, I am worthy of and attracting wealth.
Love it.
Okay. Within 60 days, 90 days, I went from making like $5,000 a month to like 20, $25,000 plus a month, like doing the same thing I was doing, right? I wasn't, no new job, no different thing. Like some in sales, like literally the same thing. And then just crazy results. So
it just came to you. It was just,
that's what I found. And when I find myself, so sometimes I may get out of that routine for a little bit and things are harder, right? Mm-hmm. So I always make sure that my morning routine is a staple because sometimes, like, I haven't fallen off in a while, but like, I'll go in and out of these certain ruts. But every time I go down a rut, right, I learn something more that I'm able to use, for my clients in the future. So now I see every single bad experience, every single adverse moment, although it sucks in the moment, I'm like, this is going to serve me in the future. May not be tomorrow, may not even be this fucking year, right? But eventually I'm going to be like, I see what God was doing there. So every single experience I've had, although extremely traumatic, I would not change outside of maybe my brother, because they all taught me things and they all made me who I am today.
It's all about what you take. Like I totally agree with you. Every situation is here to teach us something and bring us closer to our higher self. It's about being open to going through that experience and then being patient for the change or the realization or the lesson to reveal itself in time, and then apply it once it, because and I don't know about you, but oftentimes for me, it's literally like a light bulb. Like it'll be like a couple of years later, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, that's what that meant. Or like, that's what I went through that for. Like, yep. One of my moment was as I was going through like my transformation journey. I was in the shower one day. It was like a hot, steamy shower, and I literally felt a weight lifted off of my body. And it was like, you don't have to prove yourself anymore. And I was like, whoa, like it just happened. But I realized like everything I was doing up until that point was to build a persona or reputation, and like, I've done it. It's done. Everyone knows. And it just like left in an instant. There's a lesson there. I don't know if you've had a similar experience where something just
I think a couple of times, like, right. It will happen like in an instant, but it's all the little things that you did maybe for the months or years, like beforehand, that led you to like, oh shit. Right. So yeah, I've had experiences like that, and they're powerful, like shifts.
Yeah. But you can't have those experiences without the low times, right? Like you have to go through those low times to climb back up for that thing to be like, pop, release, whatever it might be.
And since I've had those times, I feel like I have a different perspective of the world than like just a lot of people. I see my friends who've just never really gone through anything.
Yeah.
And they just, we just see things just like totally different.
We talk a lot, I think, about morning routines, and everyone's like, what time do you wake up? What do you do? Do you have an evening routine?
To finish my morning routine really quick, and then I'll get
more. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I forgot. We got off on a tangent there. So I do the EFT.
Yeah.
My journal, just like five things that I'm grateful for. Right. And not just like my house, I really get detailed and like really try to feel it. And then I do a visualization practice, for like 10 or 15 minutes. Now my evening routine, I try to stretch for like 5 or 10 minutes before I go to bed, and then I take some glycine, some magnesium, and L-theanine. I take that, and I usually just, you know, relax with my fiance. We either read, watch a little show, sometimes I'll meditate before bed, just spend time with her usually right before bed.
I haven't asked yet, but when did your fiance come into your life as far as in your journey? Like, was it a couple years ago, or was it like, was she with you?
3 years ago in 2 days.
Oh, actually, nice.
Is when we met 3 years ago in 2 days. Yeah. So we're actually going to Stewart next weekend. We have a condo down there. We're going to stay at for Labor Day weekend and kind of celebrate our 3 year.
How does your partner contribute to your journey daily? I think, this relates to two things. When it comes to addiction, like I used to smoke cigarettes, and I tell my partner all the time, who has never smoked a cigarette in his life, I was like, I haven't smoked in a long time, but it's something I think about daily. Like, I never would have called myself an addict to addicted to tobacco back then. But now the fact that I think about it after every meal shows that like, I'm still fighting it every day. And my partner actually is really a great support system in that struggle. Every time after dinner, I'm like, damn, I just want a fucking cigarette. Like that would just like put all the food down so nice and like whatever. And, you know, he stops my train of thought. So I guess it's like a two-part question. Like, you know, how has your partner contributed to, you know, any kind of like daily struggle with recovery, and how has that helped, if any? If at all.
Yeah, definitely. I think by the time I met her, I really don't have like a daily struggle anymore, I would say, with recovery.
Yeah.
Like I'm not like sober. Yeah. I still like have like a drink or two here or there. But I don't even that's probably like maybe 3 or 4 times a year in like a social situation. Like I said, I don't even have the desire to do that anymore. I used to black out like all the time. Like this tooth is fake because I fell on my face
when you were drunk,
right?
Yeah.
And I didn't even know when I woke up. I woke up the next day and I was like, oh my God, I feel I looked in the mirror. I was like, and like, what happened? My boys are like, you fell on a table. I was like, oh my God. But she's been absolutely amazing. She is like, she's my boy's mother because they never really had a mother. They've never really been there. I have custody for them. She stepped into that role so amazingly. I pretty much got to the point where I was like, I'm going to be single forever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I'm going to find someone, not only for me, but to like be a mom for them.
Yeah.
She stepped in a little over a year ago. I was able to like retire her, right? So now she's like a stay-at-home mom. Awesome. And I wouldn't be able to grow my business and do the things I'm doing because I was a single father doing everything, packing lunches, getting them ready for school, doing breakfast, doing their homework, right? And I wouldn't be able to grow my business and serve people the way that I'm serving them without her. And she's made me a better father as well, because sometimes when I may be tunnel visioned or narrow-minded or too much of that like shut up and don't be a little bitch mentality, right, she may calm me out and help me realign my thought process and energy. So like, she's absolutely amazing. I love her so much. And the boys do too. Like, yeah. The boys just like, absolutely adore her, and her parents are amazing, like grandparents of the kids. Like, they'll go over there and spend the night. So it's like, yeah, she's absolutely incredible, and I wouldn't be here right now without her.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that you have a fruitful relationship that's benefiting everyone in so many ways, mentally, emotionally, financially, because it's so true. That, you know, only with our support can we grow our businesses, our lives, ourselves. We can't do it all alone. Which is probably one of the reasons why you even started your business in the first place, right? Like, fathers can't do it just alone either. Help and a resource. I want to ask, for someone who's listening, who wants to make a change, for a father who's struggling and who wants to make a change, and it might be, you know, scared to commit to a program or anything like that. Like, what is something that they could do, one, for themselves, and two, with their children, to get them one step closer to an awakened father state?
Yeah. For yourself, one, just get active, right? So many men are just, it's actually pathetic at some points. Like, I was at a birthday party the other day, and I'm looking around at all the other guys, and I go to Kim's father, who's like 70. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, like, you're the most in shape guy here, looking at all these other like 30 and 40 year old guys. I'm like, what? How is that? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Right. So first and foremost, fitness, getting nutrition dialed in. That's what you need to do for yourself. So many dads say, oh, they don't have time. Wake up earlier. Right. That's, you know, wake up an hour or two earlier. You can find the time if you want to do it enough.
Yeah.
Right. And two, with your kids, I would say just include them in what you're doing as well. I bring my kids to the gym with me. Huh. Right. I to say, hey, I'm about to go meditate. You want to come outside and meditate with me for a little bit? But just be active with them, get involved with their sports teams, right? Also ask them what you could be doing better as a father, right? So like a couple times a month when I'm putting them to bed, I'm like, hey bud, like, is there anything like dad could be doing better or like not be doing that? Like, you know, and sometimes you'd be like, no, nothing. And sometimes you'd be like, yeah, like, you've been on your phone a lot lately. I'm like, damn, okay. Well, I need to be more self-aware and not be on my phone, because that shows them that they're not the most important thing at that moment. Right. So, yeah, those are my couple of things.
I love it. That's clear, straightforward advice. And one, like, it's all about that for me. Like, it's all about like, what's the next smallest step? What's the next step we can take to growth and change? And I think those are really, I wouldn't necessarily say simple, right? Because it could be hard for, like, getting to the gym could be hard.
They're simple, but hard.
Yes.
You know, it's not complex. It's very simple, but hard to do.
Yeah. The hardest part is getting to the gym. Even like me, I'm like, it's right there. Like, just fucking go, Jillian. Like,
yeah.
But once, like last night, I did not want to go at all. I haven't worked out in a really long time. I'm out of shape. And I'm like, you know what? It's 8 o'clock, but I'm going to go. And like, brought my ass over there. And after 10 minutes, I was like, oh, good. Okay, I can do another 10 minutes. And then soon, before I knew it, I was done with the workout in 40 minutes, and I felt so much better after. But you got to show up. You got to. And I love exactly. the way that you said to incorporate your kids, like meditate with them, bring them to the gym. That's not something my parents ever did with me, you yeah. know, as well as asking them yeah. because they are their own persons and they have opinions and thoughts too. So mm-hmm. How can I serve you as your father is yeah. what you're asking them.
Yep.
And exactly. that changes from time to time. They go through things in their life, in school, in their baseball activities or whatever. And you're just checking in with them to say, hey, what can I do to help you out right now? Which is what you're trying to do for all people, which I really, really admire. So if people want to just get more tips and learn more or maybe consider your program, how can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me at just The Awakened Father on Instagram, TikTok. Jimmy DeFalco on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel as well, The Awakened Father. And yeah, just shorts on there right now. I'm going to be doing more long form content soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Awakened Father or Jimmy DeFalco across all platforms. And yeah, don't hesitate to reach out, shoot me a DM. I do try to provide as much value as I can, like yeah. through the DMs, yeah. as I can, just like organically, just to help dads out. And if they want extra support, like on top of that, that's where the actual mentorship comes in.
So would you consider yourself an extra, like, do you get energy from all of this external interaction with people do you consider yourself an extrovert?
Right. Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Do you consider yourself an extrovert?
Oh yeah. Like for sure. Like I don't mind confrontation. Yeah. I love like talking to people. And yeah, like helping people out. Like I'll get off a call and just hearing not only the impact that I'm having in fathers' lives, but like hearing the change in their kids, like mm-hmm. in just a couple of weeks, in like a month time, they're like, yeah, he's responding completely differently. Like he's asking me, can I go to the gym? He's asking me, like, when are we going to work out next and journal? So that is the best part about it, hands down.
Yeah, I love it. I've taken more than our allotted a time. So I just want to say thank you so much. I learned so many things from you in this conversation. I think it's a story and a journey that many people will benefit from hearing. And I just, you know, really want to say thank you for the efforts that you're putting forth in your world, in your community with fathers, because, you know, so much of who we are comes back to our parents. And if our parents and you as a parent and my friends as parents can be the best versions of themselves for the kids, which is the next generation, we're only going to be better despite, you know, everything going on in the world. So thank you for your efforts. I'm so excited to share your story and just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on here and, you know, the impact that you're making as well, right? So I really appreciate your time as well. And, I hope your audience, you know, learned some new things and resonated with my story.
Awesome. Thank you, Jimmy.